She's one sick puppy at the official memorial to 9/11 in New York City. Hillary Clinton showed up, then tried to leave, claiming that she felt ill. But as she made her way to her Scooby van, a weird thing happened. She became almost unconscious, strangely incapacitated, as she leaned back against a stone bollard. Even from behind, at a distance, she seemed to strangely bob, stiff-bodied but weak at the knee, a very strange sight indeed. Weirder still, as her van pulled up and the door was flung open, as Hillary started to move forward, her knees clearly buckled. Despite having a burly guard on each arm, she went down, fainting, and then was ignominiously tossed into the back like an unwanted refugee. Senior law enforcement officials said Clinton looked pale when she arrived at the ceremony. She left the ceremony at about 9:30, according to pool reports. As she walked away from the ceremony, according to numerous law enforcement officials, she slumped and appeared to faint. Then, according to the sources, her detail put her into a waiting vehicle. Quote, they threw her in like she was a side of beef. We were informed hours later she had been diagnosed with pneumonia last Friday. Well, that apparently explains her vast coughing spells, originally described as allergies. But how would this fainting jag, again supposedly caused by dehydration, just like her concussion, related to pneumonia, be cured so quickly? Her doctor said she was recovering nicely. The sickened Hillary appeared later, claimed to be absolutely fine, commented on the lovely day behind her sunglasses, and even stopped to pet a child. But folks, what if Hillary is lying again? Or would that be too much to believe? Of course, the real event on Sunday was the memorial itself to America's greatest single terror attack. Let us never forget the brave men and women who saved so many, or the radical Islam who planned and executed it, for they are still trying to kill the rest of us. God bless and protect America. Good morning, Kelly O'Connell, 608. And if you saw anything over the weekend, it was probably at some point a video of Hillary on a curb, standing there kind of bobbing back and forth in a very stiff way, as if she couldn't wait to fall over, leaning against this, what they call a bollard, which is one of those round kind of fence posts, but it's bigger and there's no fence between that you see at airports and along next to city curbs. And then they went to get her and put her into this van, the Scooby van that we had talked about before, and literally her knees went slack. And as she went off the curb, she apparently lost a shoe. She lost a shoe and the shoe was not recovered. And so they drove off and ran over the shoe. But and she was, I don't know, 3 feet away from the curb, 2 feet away from the curb. And between the curb and the door, she went down about halfway. So they... I don't know if they almost dropped her. I guess they didn't expect her to be almost unconscious. So they threw her in there, but it was weird. And if you've been listening to the show, which I would assume that you probably do in the morning, you know that I've been totally fixated on her health for the past couple of weeks. And this is just a confirmation. Is it pneumonia? I don't know. We'll get into it a little bit later. But anyway, in the meantime, here's a little bit of a memorial to 9/11. And I'm wearing a tie today with the Twin Towers on it and American flag behind it. So anyway, it's a big deal to me. Here's a little bit from CBS News. Ground Zero flag returns on KOBE, AM Las Cruces, at 6:11.
Finally tonight, you may remember the photograph. Three New York City firefighters raising an American flag at Ground Zero after the Twin Towers fell. The actual flag disappeared a short time later. Now, 15 years later, apparently recovered. Here again, Tony DiCoppo.
It was late in the afternoon of September 11, 2001. The towers were down, the death toll was rising, and that's when it happened. Three firefighters, on a smoldering pile of rubble, hoisted a pristine American flag taken from a yacht nearby. Tom Van Essen was New York City's fire commissioner at the time.
The guys were going through terrible, terrible pain and suffering, trying to rescue their brothers and civilians who we hoped were trapped and we were going to be able to rescue. So any kind of symbol like that flag or anything else that made the troops think that there was hope, there was something bigger than just us, it was helpful.
Photographer Thomas Franklin snapped a picture of the moment, and amid so many photos of the rubble, this image stood out as a symbol of unbroken will, a defiant roar that echoed from coast to coast. The flag itself became famous, flying over Yankee Stadium, the USS Roosevelt, and New York City Hall. But there was a problem.
When they brought it back to City Hall, and the three firefighters were out in the audience, and they said, "That's not the flag."
How did they know?
Well, these guys are sharp guys. They knew that was so big, it was definitely not the flag that they had that day.
In November of 2014, 13 years and 3,000 miles away, the missing flag resurfaced, just as mysteriously as it once disappeared. Jim Massengale was a detective with the Everett, Washington Police Department, which investigated the case.
The flag had been turned into the fire department in a Joann Fabrics bag. And then it was kind of wadded up and thrown in the bag. So we looked at the flag. We had photos that we had taken of it, and it looked very similar to what we were seeing in the photographs and in the video. So we thought, well, it's either a very elaborate hoax or it's the real thing.
After months of careful analysis, authorities are now 99% certain that it is indeed the real thing. Same size, same rigging, coated in the same dust that once choked Ground Zero. But how was it lost in the first place? And who is the mystery man seen here in a police sketch who returned it? Joe Daniels is president of the National September 11th Memorial and Museum.
I think that it's such an incredible story. We want to know all the details, try to actually trace it back throughout the years. So that's something that we'll be working on. But right now, we're just so thrilled that this is the actual flag that's going to be here forever for people to see.
Tony DiCoppo, CBS News, New York.
Wow. All right, here's a little bit from September 11th, 2001.
Came in like a missile, like a fireball missile across from the New York Harbor side, I guess from the Newark direction. It came in like a spear. It just speared through the building like a fireball.
I will ask you, where were you on 2001, September 11th?
See, the cut of the incision into the building is sideways, so the plane was slightly on its side, and that's why it made me think maybe it was in distress. But then when it obviously hit, there was almost no doubt that it was intentional. I dropped the phone, and my arms dropped to my side, and I just heard everybody in the office, get out. And then it was when I was heading down on 27, just about 27, didn't hear an explosion. All of a sudden, the staircase moved and a crack in the wall appeared, maybe about 6 or 8 inches. I kept on looking at the numbers coming down the stairwell, 15, 14, counting, and then I actually thought, I can make it. When I got out, it looked like I've never seen war up close, but today I have.
I said that's going to go down like the first one. It came down, and it was just this sound, this rumble, and this mass cloud coming at us. It's intense.
At that point, we decided just to get out of there. People were just going crazy at that point, evacuating.
Everybody go straight, this ambulance is about 100 feet ahead.
We are evacuating this part of Manhattan. Get out of here now. Folks, we are evacuating this part of Manhattan. Get out of here now. Let's go, folks. Let's go. Let's go. Come on.
How are people getting off the island right now?
Right now, they're walking. A lot of people are getting into the bridges, and they're walking over the 59th Street Bridge. They're walking over the Brooklyn Bridge.
Whole Island Railroad, limited service. New Jersey, if you want to get to New Jersey, folks, you have to go to 34th and 11th at the Jacob Javits Center. They will assist you getting to New Jersey. Whole Island Railroad, limited service. Think something.
All right, that's one that you may not have heard before. Let's take a little break here. Kelly O'Connell. I do have a dedication for Hillary, though. Rockin' Pneumonia and Boogie Woogie Flu. 617 Kelly O'Connell AM Las Cruces AM 1450 523 1450 to call in and 805-61802 text. We'll be right back. 618 on the button on AM 1450 KOBE. All right, I have one more clip from that day just to remind everybody. I think we should listen to this every year at least once.
It appears that there is more and more fire and smoke enveloping the very top of the building. And as fire crews are descending on this area, it does not appear that there's any kind of an effort up there yet. Now remember, oh my God.
That looks like a second plane.
I did not see a plane go in. That just exploded.
I just saw another plane coming in from the side.
You did. That was out of my
view. Yes, and that's the second explosion. You could see the plane come in just from the right-hand side of the screen. So this looks like it is some sort of a concerted effort to attack the World Trade Center that is underway in downtown New York.
Did you hear the explosion from your position?
Yes, we did. As a matter of fact, we heard it and because I was just like standing there pretty much looking out the window. I didn't see what caused it or if there was an impact.
So you have no idea right now?
Oh, there's another one. Another plane just hit. Another plane has just hit. It hit another building. Flew right into the middle of it. Explosion. My God, it's right in the middle of the building.
This one into the east tower.
Yes. Yes. Right in the middle of the building. And right now... That was definitely looked like it was on purpose.
You saw a plane?
Yeah, I just saw a plane go into the building.
As you look at the picture from our chopper now arriving at the scene, Jim Friedel in Hoboken said it appeared to bank sharply and smash directly, perhaps purposefully, into... Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God.
There's another one.
Oh,
my goodness, there's another one.
This seems to be on purpose.
Oh, my goodness.
Another
plane? Now it's obvious, I think, that there's a second plane just crashed into the World Trade Center. I think we have a terror attack of proportions that we cannot begin to imagine at this juncture.
We'll try to get a better vantage point and see what we can see on the ground. It's a little difficult from the air because the building has shadowed the streets, but no doubt a lot of activity on the ground right now.
And in terms of the firefighting capabilities, when you get up to this high level, I assume the firefighters have got to get up there and, fight it from the side. Oh, if you're taking a look now, you can see that we've just had another explosion, and that is considerably lower. And is that in the other building? Is that what I'm witnessing?
That apparently does look like it is in the other building at this point.
No report of any casualties. Without jumping to too many conclusions, looking at the extent of this damage and knowing how well populated the building is, there's another explosion on the left side on the second World Trade Center tower. You see that huge ball of fire that just went up there. I know it's quite a distant shot, but that looked to me to be happening at number 2 World Trade Center, at the second World Trade Center tower, and it is at some distance there, but this is now a dramatic development on the second World Trade Center tower, and I can imagine that there would not be a serious evacuation and a full mobilization now of Emergency Command Center and as the fire department moves as much equipment as possible to the World Trade Center.
A lot of uncertainty right now as to what is happening. You can see there are choppers. I believe it could be a police helicopter that is... Oh,
wow.
We just saw...
Oh, my goodness. You were looking at another live picture right now.
Oh, my goodness. Of what I believe was a plane that just...
All right, so... really amazing day in history. Living on the East Coast, far away from D.C. and down the, living on the coast down in Virginia. I was, I forgot that. Anyway, let's take a little break here and then come back and we'll get into Hillary's health condition, which is very serious. I do not for a moment believe that the health problems that she has go back to just pneumonia, but I mean, her people don't either. She's got thyroid problems. She's got concussion issues. She has blood clots that go back to the 1990s. And, you know, she was, according to her own husband, seriously incapacitated for about 6 months from concussion, which is just a couple of years ago. She's an elderly person. And it looked to me like they're just keeping her. My impression, they're keeping her awake, or they're keeping her going through drugs. Same 1450-523-1450. Call in. You have a different theory, Frankie, Kathy, anybody else who I'm sure that Frankie's going to call. If he called up, would start screaming about it. She's as healthy as a horse, but doesn't look good right now for more than. We'll be right back at 6:28 on the button on September 12, 2016, about 15 years a day after the biggest terrorist attack on U.S. soil and U.S. history. But I think what was kind of notable is that he had really gone after Hillary, and you know, she has not had a press conference really for, I don't know, it's been 280, almost 300 days, the better part of a year. And so when she had this situation, and polls said that there was some catch up by Trump on her campaign, then at that point she had to do something. Her handlers and the people who are backing her are absolutely freaking out as to what's going on in her campaign, and they can't believe that she's not miles ahead of Trump, who they see as a very, very weak person. And in the meantime, you had other health events that had occurred, one of which was this kind of what appeared to be an epileptic fit or some sort of head jerking back and forth. There was another instance where she was giving a speech, and she kind of went into a little bit of a trance and said, she's talking about health care. All of a sudden, she just, her eyes got big as plates, and she just said, upward spiral, which would kind of a strange thing to see. And any of this stuff on its own wouldn't probably be as big of a deal, but you've got it all coming together on the heels of the fact that the Republicans are claiming that she is sick. She's very sick. She got some sort of undisclosed disease. I would prepare if I had an opportunity today. I'll probably do it tomorrow, but I was supposed to find a clip, which I told my sister, she said, where did you find this? I said, YouTube. So, yeah, right. I think a lot of people don't understand that. Everything is migrating for YouTube, so I have no idea what her health has been like. covers these symptoms, but what are they going to do when she falls on the ground and starts to go into an epileptic fit, you know? So anyway, here we go. Lester
Holt. Good day from New York. Some concerns raised this morning about the well-being of Hillary Clinton, Democratic candidate for president, after she left the 9/11 memorial service at Ground Zero earlier than expected. Her campaign telling us that it may have been related to the heat and that she is okay. Let's go to NBC's Hallie Jackson now for more. Hallie?
Lester, I want to read you the statement from Hillary Clinton's campaign coming to us just moments ago, a spokesman saying Secretary Clinton attended a September 11th commemoration ceremony for just an hour and 30 minutes this morning to pay her respects and greet some of the families of the fallen. During the ceremony, she felt overheated, so departed to go to her daughter's apartment and is now feeling much better. For about 90 minutes this morning, it was unclear what had happened to Secretary Clinton, where she had gone. The small band of reporters traveling with her had been kept at the 9/11 ceremony after Clinton left around 9:30, walked out, we are told, and ultimately, apparently, has gone to her daughter Chelsea Clinton's house in Manhattan.
Hallie, thank you. We do know it has been unseasonably hot and humid here in the New York area for the last several days, and our folks at Ground Zero say certainly those were the conditions this morning when Secretary Clinton was taken away. I want to go to Andrea Mitchell on the phone right now. Andrea, the health of Secretary Clinton certainly has become an issue in this campaign. What we have just reported here has driven a lot of speculation today on social media. What can you tell us?
Her health has been an issue, and I can tell you that traveling with her nonstop, it has been no issue for her. It's all been rumor and speculation driven really by her opponents, by the Trump campaign.
Wait a minute. Are you really going to tell me? Andrea Mitchell is married to Greenspan, who used to run the Fed. She's a very, very left person. But if it's all being driven by the Trump campaign, then she wouldn't have had a health issue on the weekend. She wouldn't have had this conniption during this report previously where she appears to be almost unconscious and her head bobbing back and forth anyway.
Rudy Giuliani in particular have raised all sorts of questions. She has been healthy. She has been
I was telling you before, this black van is designed so that nobody has to step up to get into it. It's almost a straight step off of a curb. And this Chevrolet, they use a lot of these vehicles for small ambulances too, so it's fairly rainy inside. And as she's moving forward, she kind of lunges a little bit, and you can see from I think like four different I've seen three, and now I think there's more of an angle. And if you look at all the different angles, she is totally out of it. And they're moving forward by her arms. She visibly, her knee buckles, and her head goes down. Her head goes down, I say, maybe a foot.
I would like for you to look at the video of the person that comes out of the apartment and greets the little girl.
Yeah.
Does it take a close look?
It's just an unbelievable piece, and Johnny Rivers was the guy that did it. He's kind of famous for other people's pieces, but he had a lot of hits anyway. Now, okay, so I got this puppy rebooted for you. Now, so I've got also an explanation for what happens if Hillary leaves the race. I know that we talked about this before, but it's there is a protocol, and I'll read that for you in a minute. But here is a little bit more, and I you've got to see it. Now, this is what I want you to think about. She goes to this 9/11 event. After she had a coughing fit on Labor Day, right? So it's like a week later. And so she is, you know, at Labor Day, she coughs for 4 or 5 minutes. She gets a plane, she coughs, and then they get some allergies. You've got this now that has got the world watching her, and so she knows that she can't pretend. Okay, so we've got 9:12. We played a little bit. I am not going to play any more 9/11 stuff. You remember what it was like. All right, so if you have not been near any news in the last 24 hours, you may not be aware of the fact that Hillary Clinton had a collapsing event in New York City, and that event then inspired something else, which was a supposed I'm trying to reboot. I just rebooted the computer, so I'm trying to get everything back up. It put out there this idea that Hillary has pneumonia. Now, whether she does or not, I have no idea. It would be kind of a convenient thing to have it, because everybody knows it's not a terminal illness. At the same time, though, it wouldn't seem to me to be in answer to all the stuff going on out there. So you know, I don't know what to say. So called up, said it was very clear that it wasn't her on the sidewalk talking to the little kid. It was somebody else. Anyway, you know, when you've got a situation like this, what do you expect people to say? It has been a deeply held belief of a lot of people that the Hillary Clinton camp is hiding her health news. And in addition to that, there's stuff that just is not explainable. Including what happened, it doesn't seem to explain everything that happened to her in any way, shape, or form. Here is news that we're going to get into, but I kind of found it fascinating. Speaking of coughing, excuse me. I found it fascinating that after all of the question about her health and the furious response, the sexism or whatever it was called, right-wing nutcase conspiracy theories, that she actually almost, I mean, if it wasn't for those guys standing there to catch her and help her in the van, she would have been face down in a New York street. And then there's a whole other issue of deplorables. Hillary Clinton would repeat something she said in Israel. The people on the right, the people who, half the people that support Trump are part of a basket of deplorables, and that you get this super elitism coming out there. But anyway, here's a little bit more on her collapse.
You have a statement right now coming in just moments ago from Nick Merrill, a spokesman for Secretary Clinton, about her appearance at Ground Zero this morning. I will read this statement to you right now. It said, Secretary Clinton attended the September 11th commemoration ceremony for an hour and 30 minutes this morning to pay her respects. During the ceremony, she felt overheated, so she departed and went to her daughter's apartment. She is feeling much better. So again, this is coming on the heels of what's been really unfolding in New York for about 90 minutes or so, Brian.
Right.
She was seen by some law enforcement officials leaving abruptly, and then we were not told exactly where she was. But this statement now coming out from the Clinton campaign, from Nick Merrill, again, I'll repeat to you. He said, during the ceremony, she felt overheated and departed to go to her daughter's apartment. So she is at Chelsea's apartment in the Flatiron neighborhood of Manhattan. That's where she is right now, Brian. Of course, this is all... you know, being discussed because there have been questions raised by her opponents about her health and other things. But she was seen this morning leaving Ground Zero. And then this statement now out from Nick Merrill saying she's fine. She was just feeling overheated this morning. We also have some other reporting from our other colleagues here. Let me look at this right now, Brian. And it says she left the 9/11 event because she was not feeling well. Secret Service agents were helping her into her van in the motorcade. Someone saw that happening. A law enforcement official is telling CNN that she was helped in her van at Ground Zero, and she was taken to Chelsea's apartment, and she is at her daughter's apartment right now in New York. Brian.
All right. So what are the symptoms? What is pneumonia? What causes it? Et cetera. I'll play a little infomercial on it here.
Breathe. Air moves.
All right, so get ready. This is like health class in high school. And Nucleus Medical Media. Nucleus. Sample use only.
Pneumonia is inflammation in your lungs caused by an infection. You have two lungs, one on each side of your chest. Each lung has separate sections called lobes. Normally, as you breathe, air moves freely through your trachea or windpipe, then through large tubes called bronchi, through smaller tubes called bronchioles, and finally into tiny sacs called alveoli. Your airways and alveoli are flexible and springy. When you breathe in, each air sac inflates like a small balloon. And when you exhale, sacs deflate. Small blood.
Ugh. I don't know what's going on.
Vessels called capillaries surround your alveoli. Oxygen from the air you breathe passes into your capillaries. Then carbon dioxide from your body passes out of your capillaries into your alveoli so that your lungs can get rid of it when you exhale. If you have pneumonia, your airways or lungs have an infection caused by germs, such as bacteria, viruses, fungi, parasites. Your airways catch most germs in the mucus that lines your trachea, bronchi, and bronchioles. Hair-like cilia lining the tubes constantly push the mucus and germs out of your airways, where you may expel them by coughing. Sometimes germs make it past your mucus and cilia and enter your alveoli. Normally, cells of your immune system attack these germs, which keep them from making you sick. However, if your immune system is weakened due to age, illness, or fatigue, pneumonia-causing germs can overwhelm your immune cells and begin to multiply. Your bronchioles and alveoli become inflamed as your immune system attacks the multiplying germs. The inflammation causes your alveoli to fill with fluid, making it difficult for your body to get the oxygen it needs. If you have lobar pneumonia, one lobe of your lungs is affected. If you have bronchopneumonia, many areas of both lungs are affected. Pneumonia may cause the following symptoms: difficulty breathing, chest pain, coughing, fever and chills, confusion, headache, muscle pain, and fatigue. Pneumonia can lead to serious complications. Respiratory failure occurs when your breathing becomes so difficult that you need a machine called a ventilator to help you breathe. Bacteremia occurs when the bacteria causing your pneumonia move into your bloodstream, where they may travel to infect other organs. In some cases of pneumonia, a large collection of fluid and pus, called an abscess, may form inside one of your lungs. If an abscess forms around the outside of your lung, it's called an empyema. Possible treatments for pneumonia include antibiotics if the cause is bacteria or a parasite, antiviral drugs if the cause is a flu virus, antifungal medication if the cause is a fungus, rest and drinking plenty of fluids, and over-the-counter or OTC remedies to manage your fever, aches, and pains. If you have severe pneumonia, you may be admitted to the hospital and given intravenous antibiotics and oxygen.
There is a fungus among us. It is Hillary Clinton. Her abscess is on her brain, unfortunately, but it's a spiritual type. But anyway, so here is what is supposedly wrong with Hillary. She might have pneumonia, but there is no way that is the full extent of the problem. Does anybody doubt here if Hillary got a diagnosis of 6 months or 3 months of life left, you have this terminal disease, you'll be dead in somewhere between a couple of months to half a year, that she would go on? I have no doubt whatsoever. She is so disingenuous and so typically just hides information and misstates it, and anyway, so we'll come back here in just a second. I've got the basket of deplorables comment that she made, which is kind of the background of this, but the health issue is so gigantic that it's just going to supersede anything else until the end of the election. I think at this point, Trump could probably play rope-a-dope like Clinton has been doing, and he would survive. 718 Kelly O'Connell AM, Las Cruces AM 1450, 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180. I'll get to your texts, of course. We'll be right back. This song is called Rockin' Pneumonia and Boogie Woogie Flu, dedicated to Hillary. Speedy recovery, of course. All right, so we have been, of course, talking about a couple of things. 9/11 is one. Hillary Clinton's health event is another. If you haven't seen it, I beg you, I implore you to go to Drudge or go to YouTube, which is better, or Google, and look up Hillary faints. And if you can possibly do it, if you can see it from a couple of different angles. The first time I saw it, I mean, it looked bad. But the second and third and fourth times I saw it, I saw all the different angles. She's standing up, but kind of swaying back and forth a little bit. And she looks completely stiff, but at the same, like she's not really even conscious. But at the same time, she looks like she's ready to fall over. And then they come, the Scooby van pulls up. Remember, I did a little clip on that, what kind of a different van. Now, I was trying to figure out, what did she get into? If it's difficult for her to get up into these Secret Service and government vehicles that we always see in the background of these news clips in D.C., you know, they tend to be these big SUVs. If it is difficult for her to get into that, I was wondering, what did she use? And I, you know, did a little research and found out she uses one of these vans. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a Chevrolet, and it's very easy access. It's got two doors that open from the center, open out to the right and the left. So it's a very big space to get into, and then it's pretty plush inside. It's got some big seats, and it's very easy for people. It would be easy situation to help her get in, whereas in these other big SUVs, Tahoes or whatever they are, you have to step up into them, and there's not a lot of room to maneuver. So Because I was trying to think, if she's got trouble climbing stairs, and we've seen photographs of her kind of getting dragged up the stairs with somebody, you know, like a Secret Service on each arm, how does she get into a vehicle? And the answer is, she doesn't have to walk up. You get this thing up next to the curb, and then she just can walk straight into it. So all of these little signs that tell you that she's not in great shape, she doesn't look, she looks terrible. You know, and you see her, she looks pale, very tired, like she doesn't get any sleep. And then she's got these coughing fits that have become legendary, that they're so frequent. And then I saw her give a speech the day after. Yeah, I think it was the day after the coughing fit, the big coughing fit, and she was so low energy, she looked like she was totally doped up. So I think what they're doing is they're playing this very cynical game. They're trying to keep her appearing as if she is in good shape through drugs, and the drugs are backfiring. I mean, frankly, that could have been a drug overdose. I'm not saying it was. It would be probably, to me, my way of thinking, more likely that it was a drug overdose than it would be pneumonia, because the pneumonia comes out of nowhere. She's got allergies. Her doctor, I assume, checks her for allergies. She said she increased her antihistamine load now that it's that time of the year. But I'm thinking, I mean, I don't know enough about all this stuff, just scratching the surface. As you recall, we've been talking about this a long time. So what difference does it make? Well, let me take a break here. I'm going to play a little bit of the weather for you, and then we'll come back and talk about what would happen if she didn't make it and had to be replaced. 725 Kelly O'Connell AM, Las Cruces AM 1450, 523 1450. We'll be right back to talk about what happens if Hillary can't make it. The poor little mule, having given a whole life service, can't make it up over the Andes with one last load of coffee beans, I guess. We'll be right back. All right, I'm just looking up something here. The meaning of the phrase protective pool, which is applied to the journalists that follow the candidates around, but especially presidential candidates in this case. Why it's called protective, I'm not sure. I'm still kind of investigating that, but the protective pool covers her, or should cover. That's one of the facts that has come out that makes you think that there is possibly something wrong with her that's more serious. Because up to this point, Hillary Clinton has not allowed a protective pool to follow her around. So it's, I'll get to the bottom of it, but anyway, she has not allowed them. It's like they're trying to hide something. So you're asking, how could she be so sick and hide in plain sight? Well, in part because they're sending the press away. They're not allowing them to cover her. And when they do get a chance to talk to her, when they have their first news conference, can you imagine that? Your job is to cover the president, and she doesn't allow, or the presidential candidate, she doesn't allow a press conference for 250, however many days it was, 300 days. That would almost take away your job status. But nonetheless, when they had a chance to talk to her, they said, how was your weekend? I mean, that's how pathetic this American press corps is. And despite the fact that she treats them like garbage, they defend her like, you know, like a pit bull at every stop. They were always hiding and covering up and restating things and you know, basically turning out highly processed products that would never hurt her. But it's too late. It's out there that she's got serious health problems. Now, when she gets sick after this and the symptoms don't measure up to pneumonia, and I, you know, the weird thing is I went online to find a clip on pneumonia. And the first comment on one of these pneumonia videos, which was, I think it was posted 4 years ago, said, the strange thing is that pneumonia has the same symptoms as AIDS. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even know that. So many people have asked, could she have picked something up from her husband? I have no idea. I'm not stating that. It's just kind of weird. All the stuff. And this is the problem. When you're not transparent, in Hillary's case, not being transparent means that you only can leave it to people's imaginations and background research to find out what's wrong with you. But we know that she's got more problems than pneumonia. She's got a failed thyroid system, so she takes Armour Thyroid. She's got problems with blood thinning, so she takes Coumadin, which is a very powerful and dangerous drug. It's a blood thinner. She's got problems with blood clots. She apparently has something that causes her to freeze up or maybe even have a seizure of some kind. She's just got a lot of problems. And all right, so let me give you this basket of deplorables here from CNN.
The only one making questionable statements tonight. Listen to Secretary Clinton at a fundraiser here in New York.
Be grossly generalistic. You can put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. But that other basket of people are people who feel the government has let them down. The economy has let them down. Nobody cares about them.
I found out this kind of strange thing about Hillary that I'd never heard before, that when she got her first job out of school, or one of her first jobs, she worked for one of the committees for the Richard Nixon impeachment, and she was let go from this some House committee, and the guy that had hired her said he would not give her a recommendation. and that he wanted to report her to the authorities, but kind of felt didn't want to ruin her career. But that she and they said, well, why didn't you give her a recommendation? He said she's a liar. And with Hillary getting into, you know, she wrote her college thesis on the same guy that wrote Rules for Radicals, and Alinsky. So she, from a very early age, has been a rebel, has been a person who's been really working to undermine the system. I don't think she's any different in her beliefs than Obama is. That's the real danger here. Let's take a break. 7:35, Kelly O'Connell, and we'll have a little bit of weather for you here.
Here we are in the second week of September, and already some snow on the ground in Montana. We have some cold air moving in. It's going to be from the plains to the Midwest, and more snow in the forecast for places like Montana. So here's the cold shot that we're dealing with, and it is going to drop temperatures a pretty decent amount here. So we're talking 48 for the high in Bozeman, Glasgow 54. Now, these are temperatures that are running more than 20 degrees below average. Even that cooler air sneaks all the way down into Denver and further into Texas, where it's relatively warm but still sitting below average. So this will be a touch of fall right through the middle of the week, and more snow. We could see up to a foot in parts of Wyoming.
And I want to thank one of the sponsors for the show, Massage Asia. It's located at 3850 Foothills Road, Suite 2, 222-4945. Allow Fabulous Frankie and his dancing fingers to tap dance across your aching back, swollen feet, and overused legs. Radio specials. Let Frankie Fingers show you how to have a little piece of heaven. All right, folks. All right, so let us get into a few more things here. I've got something that's highly entertaining, I must say. And it is about Gary Johnson, the genius that used to be the governor here. And this is, check this out, Gary Johnson, how he might do Jeopardy, folks. Check it out.
Its biggest university is Boise State.
What is Aleppo?
No. Cue the deer and antelope. This is Kansas's state song.
What is Aleppo?
No. Liberian warlord known as General Butt Naked inspired an antagonist in this recent musical about missionaries in Africa.
Aleppo.
You are wrong. Heinrich Heine. Wherever they do this to books, they will also, in the end, do it to human beings.
What is Aleppo?
No. Jonathan.
What is Bern?
That's the word. Charon is the largest moon of this small one-time planet. Louis.
What is Pluto?
That's right.
What is Aleppo?
You're kidding. No. Aleppo is in Syria.
All right. There's your former, your former governor playing Jeopardy. All right. What would happen if Hillary Clinton dropped out of election due to illness? And this is from lawnews.com, N-E-W-Z. Now, Hillary did slump. She did fall forward. She did get dragged like a sack of potatoes. She almost went down like a sack of rivets. She was thrown in the back like a side of beef, according to police officers that were there. And she just has pneumonia. And she went and went to see the doctor. The doctor gave her a glass of water. Now she's fit as a fiddle. Although she's going to have to skip a few events. That's kind of how this thing is played out. Now, should a presidential candidate drop out, the Democratic National Committee, the DNC, the same group that threw the convention, has rules in place to handle the situation. In Article 2, Section 7 of the DNC bylaws, that states, if there is a vacancy on the national ticket, a special meeting of the committee shall be held. And shall be held on the call of the chairperson, where they would choose a new candidate. And such meetings make decisions based on a majority of those in attendance. But what if she has to withdraw from the election after the election takes place, but before she's sworn in? If a candidate withdraws after the general election, but before the Electoral College meets, federal law says the electors can vote for whomever they want, although the states can pass their own laws on the matter. So the electors are the people that represent the states, you know. So they could, I guess, have to put together a new convention, but I don't know. I mean, I don't see how they would do it without having a new convention. However, if a candidate wins the election but becomes incapacitated prior to the inauguration, Section 3 of the 20th Amendment kicks in, according to the Office of the Federal Register. The 20th Amendment says in such a scenario, the vice president-elect would become president. So there's your possibilities. Now, what are the chances that this takes place? Oh, well, let me ask you one thing. If she really did have pneumonia, which is a life threatening disease, and which is kind of considered to be one of the main killers of the elderly, 50,000 people a year go to hospital with that. If she got a diagnosis on Friday of pneumonia, why was she out? Was she ever going to tell anybody? It seems like they weren't going to tell anybody. Or is it just a likely explanation for her symptoms, which, if you knew the cause of them, would be very alarming and disqualifying? That's my take on it. What do you think? I mean, I would suspect 523-1450. I suspect that if Hillary is willing to lie about the emails, and if she's willing to lie about Benghazi, if she's willing to lie about fill in the blank here, all of her different scandals, the Clinton Foundation lying about her health with the assistance of just one person, which would be her doctor, would be a walk in the park. Now I'm going to come back and I'm going to tell you about a young man who's in a lot of trouble. I'm nicknaming him Doogie Washington. He's the Doogie Howser of Florida. We'll be right back. Oh, and we do have a phone call here. We'll take that before I go. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, good morning, Kelly. This is Jim.
Jim, good morning to you. What's up?
Well, I have a question for you more than a comment. what is your thought process on, you think that they would be willing to even put somebody up, or the Democratic Party would be willing to put somebody up and knowing that there could be a loss of life just to fact of winning the White House?
Well, when you say there could be a loss of life, what do you be more specific?
Let's play the devil's advocate here and say that they know that something is really wrong with her, the point that it could cause her to pass away. Do you think that they'd be willing to still nominate her just so they could get the White House?
I mean, I don't. Yeah, I mean, to answer your question directly, yes, but one of my mysteries in my mind is, if she was really sick, why would she want to? I mean, maybe it would be heroic to die in office, or maybe she's totally disconnected from what's happening to her and around her. But it would seem to me that it is an expression of who she is. Her entire life was dedicated to politics and somehow raising the stake of women. And I don't, you know, I mean, maybe that's, they say that the Clintons have not lived together for 16 years. Now, maybe she's got a relationship with this young lady, Huma Abedin, and I don't have any idea. They're together all the time. They're very close, but I mean, maybe that's all she's got left. I mean, maybe she fought her whole life to try to get into the White House on her own, and nothing except death is going to stop her. What do you think?
Well, you know, when you hear the comment about the pneumonia, the thing that comes to my mind is, it's awful ironic that all this happened to her prior to them saying she had pneumonia. Why wasn't that diagnosed and brought out before this happened? In other words, if she has pneumonia, they should know that before that. And that does not cause mental lapses, you know, to forget things. And, this just doesn't add up, Kelly.
Well, I mean, in other words, she's lying, but she's lied before. She's lied in situations where there's a lot more peril. There's the chance of getting caught and punished is a lot higher. There is no downside to her lying about this, probably, in her mind.
Yeah, it's pathological, I guess. Everything becomes truth,
yeah,
even if you believe it. You know?
Yeah. I got another call, but thanks for the call, Jim. Have a good day. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Sean.
Good morning, Sean. Thanks for calling, and what's on your mind?
Hey, I'm a respiratory therapist, and I've dealt with a lot of pneumonia patients.
Okay.
And not one of them had an inability to stand. That's separate and beyond exactly what we saw yesterday.
Well, all right. So Sean, if somebody gets a bad dose of pneumonia, couldn't that make them unconscious? Couldn't that make them, you know, sweaty and disoriented and weak at the knees?
Absolutely. Yeah, it could. But they wouldn't be laughing and joking 5 minutes prior like she was on camera.
And a few hours
photographs.
And a few hours later, when she's on the sidewalk, what a beautiful day this is, comes up to the little kid, squeezes her cheek, maybe coughs a little pneumonia in her face, but
but it doesn't work like that.
So
nothing about the disease process follows that sort of great, bad, great again.
Okay.
No.
All right. So from what you've just observed, it's not pneumonia. Do you have any instinct or hunch on what it could be?
No, I just know it's not pneumonia.
Interesting.
I'm not even going to hazard a guess. There's so many other explanations, but it's just definitely not pneumonia.
That's so fascinating. Well, I really appreciate you calling in on that.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day. All right, folks. Well, I hope she cuts back to 3 packs a day at least. But, you know, Barack Obama still smokes. God bless him. Hopefully he doesn't do it while he's filling his SUV full of gas. But 750 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. Got a dedication, not just to Hillary now, but to Sean for his beautiful call. Rockin' Pneumonia and Boogie Woogie Flu. We'll be right back. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. 523-1450. Well, according to lie detection expert Michael Silvestre, who's closely examined various interviews in which Clinton has discussed her health, he transferred recordings of Clinton's voice into a DecepTech voice stress analysis machine, a tool sometimes used by U.S. law enforcement agencies to identify variations in a person's stress level based on how he or she speaks. After reviewing his analysis, Sylvester's verdict was clear. He told Radar Online she needs to fess up and reveal what's really going on. She's hiding medical secrets. All right, so remember the kid that was arrested for being a fake doctor in Florida a couple of times, and he was on the verge of going to prison for 3 years? Well, he went to stay with his basically family friend, a person he calls Grandma. And during that period of time, he went and asked her to go down to the car dealership. And when she went there, she didn't know that he was using her credit card, her Social Security and other information to try to get a, I don't know if it was a Lexus or, anyway, check it out. Doogie Washington. Malachi Love Robinson.
But employees at a car dealership in Fairfax, Virginia, outside Washington, D.C., say Malachi Love Robinson walked in, presented some phony documents, and tried to buy a luxury car. We go to Farron Salee in the Breaking News Center now. And Farron, Once again, Love Robinson apparently claimed he's a doctor.
Yeah, that's right. I talked with the finance director handling his sale at the dealership. She said he wanted to finance a $25,000 Lexus, and everything about his application seemed suspicious after that.
He claimed that he made $140,000 a year, that he was a vice president of a company.
That's the voice of Josephine Baker. She texted me this photo of who she claims is Malachi Love Robinson inside the dealership.
On the application, did he use his name, Malachi Love Robinson?
Yeah, he used his name. And the salesperson had said, oh, I have a 19-year-old doctor here. And one of my other salespeople, they said, oh, a 19-year-old doctor, that sounds like somebody from Florida that was on the news.
She said that prompted them to do a quick Google search. They saw his history and arrest for fraud and phony claims of being a doctor. Baker told me when she looked up the business where he claimed to work now, it too was fake.
I found the company name, but it was on a Facebook page. It only had one like, and it was him that liked it. It had one review, and it was him that reviewed it.
And she said the address listed is actually a Walmart here in West Palm Beach. He left the dealership briefly, and she says that her GM in this picture said to call police. They told Love Robinson he was approved for a loan, and when he returned, Stafford County detectives were waiting for him.
Everything was so bizarre, and even the banks that I was talking to, they were kind of scratching their heads about it, too.
Baker and others at the dealership watched as he was taken away in handcuffs. They don't see there every day. She also told me that he had a co-signer there with him that he claimed was his mother. Deputies questioned her, and it turns out that she's a 73-year-old distant family member who lives in Virginia. They say that she didn't seem to understand that he was taking advantage of her. And back to you.
Actually, they talked to her, and she said they asked her if she wanted to co-sign this thing, and she said under no condition. All right, so here's some texts from you. This is from Punky. That's exactly right, Kelly. You can't trust Hillary Clinton. And here's another one. This is from Tina. Hillary didn't use an unsecured server. Oops. Yes, she did. And here's from Boris. HRC basket of deplorables comment is so spot on. You and yours by out Sean Esplanade. All right, this is Frank. Frankie, did you also get some pneumonia and you can't call in? Even dog sick, she's still better than. All right, so a dying Hillary Clinton, according to Frankie, is better than Trump. Here's from Jose. Cops say Hillary gets put into the van. Where are the police body cameras when we need one? Well, you don't need one because there was an incredible picture that was taken, and this is from Rex. Hillary takes a fall yet says she's fit as a fiddle. What she's got is classified. Her emails pose the riddle. Speaking of Jeopardy. Well, been great hanging out with you guys, and really appreciate Sean calling in saying that's not pneumonia. Isn't it funny? We can get local radio. We can get an expert on pneumonia to call in and say I know pneumonia and that's not pneumonia. But we can't get any of the national news organizations that are worth millions or billions of dollars to do anything like that. The power of local radio, spoken word, freedom of speech. That's what we're fighting for ultimately here. And we don't want the presidency to turn into one long run of Weekend at Bernie's. But anyway, 7:59 about Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. I have a dedication, not just to Hillary, but to Sean. But this goes out to Hillary. Rockin' pneumonia and boogie woogie flu. I hope you make it, Hillary. Have a great day, folks. We'll see you back in 22 hours. Ciao.